All right. What is going on, everybody? Welcome to SaberSims Office Hours. I'm realizing I think the thumbnail for this video says July 7th. Oh, no, it does say July 8th. Well, it is July 8th. And we had a big update go live to SaberSim here this morning. So wanted to do this stream to walk through what's new, how to use it, some of the awesome new features we've got here. So we'll kind of kick things off today by basically going through the process of building lineups. We'll use some of the new stuff here, talk about like how it works, how it fits into existing processes, why some of this stuff is better, or at least we're hoping that it's better, answer some questions that you guys have as well. Andrew will, of course, be on again tomorrow here, and we'll be back to regularly scheduled programming with office hours. But a couple things, I guess, kind of like housekeeping items right off the bat here. I did go ahead, and if you click help in the upper right in the settings menu, you get taken to our support documentation. A few things that are probably going to be helpful here. The tutorials, this section, SaberSim tutorials, these are all like our main big walkthroughs on the SaberSim app here, how to do like basic stuff. This is like a general walkthrough of how to use the app. You've got how to late swap, how to fill your entries, all this stuff. These have all been updated for the update here. If you need help with any specific parts of the process, these are going to be great resources as well. There is also a general overview in the release notes section down here at the bottom. I should probably drag that up to the top so it's a little more obvious here of the new stuff. If you're here watching this stream, you're probably not going to need to watch this video, but a lot of what I cover in this video is what I'm going to cover here today. So, cool. Okay, I just wanted to make sure you guys could hear me. I have a bad habit of doing these streams and having my mic be muted, and that's always embarrassing, but it looks like my mic is working. So I see a few folks. Oh, I'm not sharing my screen, though, so that would help. Let's get that up there. Okay, let me bring this back up here. So if you upper right click help, this takes you to the support documentation. The tutorial section is what I was referring to here. This is where all the kind of like basic tutorials are. These are all updated for the update. And in the release notes section is a general overview video here of what is new as well. This is what we're really going to be covering a lot today. So don't necessarily need to go and watch this if you're here for the stream, but we'll walk through what all is new here. So what I'm going to do this for... We'll do this for the DraftKings baseball slate tonight. I have some entries registered there already. I'm going to do this on an ultimate account. So we're going to assume that we have contest sims. If it's helpful, I can also demonstrate it for like a starter account where we won't have the contest sims. The process is going to be basically the same. It'll just kind of look a little bit different here. But if that's helpful, we can do that as well. I'll put myself down there as well so we can see the screen big. But please ask questions in the chat if you have them, or in the Office Hours channel in Discord. I know there are already a few questions that have come in. I am going to try to focus on questions related to the update for the most part today. But if we get through all of those, we can start talking about just kind of other general process or strategy questions. I do think that some of our recommendations of how we recommend people play DFS change slightly with this update, mostly as it relates to diversification, because the portfolio diversifier is just such a valuable part of the process. But for the most part, processes shouldn't change a ton. So already do have a request for a starter build, so we can do a starter build. That is no problem here. So, okay, let's go ahead and just get started here and kind of talk about what this looks like. So We're going to start by refreshing projections, since we have some new projections here. And then we're going to start by uploading an entries file. One of my favorite parts of this update, very small thing here, though, is you can now very easily do this right from here. Just clicking that button anytime you're on a slate, it'll pull up this and you can go ahead and get that entries file just uploaded in here, and that will pull in your contests. You know what I'll probably end up doing here as well, if we should have some time to do this, is kind of walking through what the process looks like if you don't have an entries file. I will say, as we say in all of the videos that we do here, basically all of the live streams, everything on SaberSim is just going to work way better if you've registered for contests ahead of time and you are uploading that entries file. It makes it easier to get your lineups into the contests. It makes it easier to update them later. It is required for late swap. The whole process is better if you do that. But if you aren't used to registering for contests ahead of time. It's totally fine to, there is a way to do it without that. So we'll do this here. And I'm going to go ahead and get some lineups built. I guess before I hit the build button, we'll go ahead and open up the lineups pane here. This, let me try a hard refresh. This like upload your entries thing is annoying me. I don't know why that's stuck on the screen. So let's see if I can get that thing to go away. Okay, here we go. Now it's gone. Okay, so we open up the lineups pane before we even build lineups. So what you will see here is the new lineup groups section. And by default, the behavior that you should see when you first open up your very first build here is a lineup group created for each contest that you're playing. If you've used SaberSim before, if you were regularly using it before this update, this is essentially the same way that autofill worked, right? We're going to create a lineup group, and we're going to fill lineups into each contest that you are playing, right? A lineup group itself is really just a group of lineups that you want to think about all together, right? Maybe you're doing something similar to a particular set of lineups. Maybe you're filtering, right, on those lineups together. Or for one reason or another, you just like want to think about those lineups as a group. Lineup groups were created to allow you to do that, right? Again, if you've used SaberSim before, using it before this update, and we have the direct fill and the auto fill, those were really just two different types of ways to group your lineups up. One was group all my lineups by contest. The other was make one giant group where all of my lineups for all of my contests go into, right? The lineup groups was intended to basically make this more flexible to allow you to do whatever you wanted. So if you were, for example, saying, I want to have a group for my four seamers and for my solo shots, but I think about my single entries all as the same group, you could delete these, for example, and you could create a lineup group and just add the single entries to it. And now you have three lineup groups. Two of them are for your 20 maxes in my case. And then you have an extra group that has the three single entries in it. So that's kind of what lineup groups essentially are, is they are just a collection of lineups that are associated with contests that you want to think about all together. So let's talk about templates here a little bit, and then we'll start building. I'm providing, I guess, a little bit of extra background knowledge here, because I think it's just useful to understand what this stuff is and how it works. But we'll speed it up here as we go along and like actually do a build from start to finish, just so you can see what that looks like here. But when you open up your templates, you'll likely see that you have one template that's already been created, and it'll have this green star next to it. It'll probably be named differently than mine, because I've already tweaked mine a little bit around here. I think it says one group per contest. And the star indicates that that template will automatically be created whenever you create a new build. And that is why when you go into the build, you see all these groups automatically created for you. For most people, I don't think you will necessarily need to go into templates and add new templates for yourself. That is something that, you know, if you have a process that requires them, you might want to do that. But for most people, you probably won't. And I frankly don't. But we'll jump back into templates in a little bit here. I just wanted to provide some context here for what's going on. For now, let's go ahead and build. We'll let this build. Then we're going to run some contest sims, and we'll have an opportunity then to talk about the diversifier and how that works, because that is pretty slick. So I see we've got a bunch of folks hanging out here. Andy's here. Snowman. And I see some other folks here as well. Pendy was kind enough to let me know that I wasn't screen sharing when we got started. So it's a fun slate tonight for the first night of the new update with 13 games on the slate. It should be pretty cool. So give this just a second to finish up here. Okay, so I do want to call this out as well, because I think this can be a little bit confusing. A couple things, I guess. So first, I'm going to turn my compact lineups view off. I want to see the full lineups. So that is something that people always want to know where that is. That is in this little settings menu here. So we can turn that off. But when you first finish building, this is what you're most likely going to see. And this is something I've seen people get tripped out by, like, okay, now what do I do? What happened? we just expand the pool here by default, which is all of the lineups we've built here, just so you can see lineups and kind of like confirm that the lineup's built. You can just collapse that over here in the upper right. Now you're back to the view we were just looking at, right? So now we have a little over 5,000 lineups that got built and they're all tucked in here. So the next step is we're going to run the contest sim. And now we're going to sim the performance of all the lineups that we just built, all 5,000 of them, for each contest we're playing. So we're trying to get a sense of how profitable are these lineups for the different contests that I'm playing on this slate. So we'll let this run for a moment. More than likely, that process will actually kick off for you automatically. But for me, I have it set to run it myself. We are encountering a minor bug here that a handful of you have already reported that we're actually already looking into. For whatever reason, at times the build seems to just be refreshing itself. So we will give it a moment to refresh itself. That will be fixed pretty quick here. Okay, contest sims are done. Now we see diversifying lineups running. So this is the portfolio diversification. It should only take a few seconds to run. This is the part of the update that I am personally the most excited about. What this really does is it essentially replaces the need for min uniques completely. It is the best diversification tool probably available in DFS. What it is doing is it is solving for the best balance of upside and risk management portfolio for the contest that I am playing. It's saying not only do we want to play a set of 43 lineups in my case that have a high probability or the best probability of making me money on this slate, but we want to do so in a diversified way. Diversified meaning we want those 43 lineups to have as diverse of different win conditions as possible. Right? If I'm going to play 43 lineups, I don't want to have 43 lineups that all win the exact same way. I want to really make sure I'm getting my money out of the 43 lineups and make sure that I'm playing a set of lineups where any 43 of them have a chance to win, right? Similarly, I want to somewhat protect some of my losses, right? I don't want to get blown out if I'm going to lose on the slate, or I want to minimize those slates where I get completely blown out on the slates where I lose. So I want to, you know, have some potential for some top 10% finishes, top 20% finishes, min cash stuff type like that on the nights that I'm losing. So the portfolio diversifier is solving for an optimized portfolio of lineups for you to play and diversifying your portfolio for you based on the results of the contest sims. This is quite cool to play around with. Look at how it handles different slates, different size slates, different sports, different contest mixes. You will see it does a lot of different unique things. The way that the portfolio diversifier behaves for a large baseball slate is different than it behaves for tennis. It's different than how it behaves for golf. You'll see it kind of balance your portfolio in different ways based on how the projections work out, how players tend to score points in those sports, what you need to win in the particular contest mix you're playing. It is very, very cool. It is available for all plans. And it is available in the default template. So you really shouldn't have to do anything at all to start taking advantage of this. When you first run your initial build on this, after your build is done and after your contest sim has run on Ultimate, it should kick off. So if you're on starter, and we'll talk about this in a second, if you're on starter, it should just start as soon as the build finishes. The main difference between what the starter version and what the ultimate version is doing is the ultimate version is using the actual contest sims from the specific contest that I'm playing. So the ultimate version knows I am playing this base hit, this chin music, this four seamer, this solo shot. I'm playing this number of lineups. It knows exactly what it is using our fields that are attempting to predict what the field is going to do in each of those contests. It understands the payout structures. Like it knows precisely what I am playing. The starter version is using a more generalized version of it. It is not running contest sims for the contest that you have uploaded your entries file. It is kind of more generally assessing what lineups are going to be good for that slate. It is still in our back testing. The starter version of portfolio is still exceedingly better than min uniques. And the ultimate version, if you are on ultimate, outperforms the starter version as well. So our goal with this was to feel like everybody got something better without any change to their existing subscription, right? You're still on the subscription that you were on, and something got better for you. If you're on Starter, you now have a way better way to diversify than Min Uniques. If you're on Ultimate, not only did you get a better way to, not only did you get an improvement upon Min Uniques if you were using that, but you got an additional power from your contest sims that you're paying for with your Ultimate subscription. So I know I wanted to just address that because there's already been some questions about, like, is the Starter and the Ultimate version the same thing? What's the difference between the two? Like, you know, if I'm on Ultimate, did Starter just get the exact same thing that I did? Should I downgrade? I wouldn't. You should have gotten what you kind of, you got an improvement regardless of whatever subscription you were on. That's kind of how they work there. So here we are. So, I mean, let's look at this here. So kind of cool just looking through this here. We can poke around. I'll drag my exposure column over here and we'll take a look and kind of see what this slate looks like. But we are getting to some Boston stacks. We are pretty spread out at pitcher here. You can see, actually, I guess kind of taking a stand on like a handful of pitchers, three real good ones, and then spreading out from here on the stacks. Pretty heavy on Boston again. It's kind of just been that week here with the Rockies playing in Boston, where we've been going to Boston quite a bit on these slates here. But again, every slate's going to be quite a bit different. Now, where this gets really fun, and I think one of the biggest kudos that I have to give to our dev team for making this work so well is that this is totally flexible with your exposures as well. So let's say you're reviewing this and you're like, I don't want to play 44% Boston here in my 40-ish lineups. That's a lot of Boston. I want to be more spread out than that. Maybe instead you take this down to, say, 30% and we hit that. It's going to accept that 30% and it's going to attempt to re-diversify. And now this time it can't exceed 30% Boston in your portfolio here. So you give this a couple seconds to run and it's going to come up with a new portfolio. Now this is diversified again. And this is now SaberSim saying, okay, this is the optimized portfolio of how you should approach this slate given these contests, assuming that you want a maximum of 30% Boston, and it has settled in at around 26.3%, right? You can do this as much as or as little as you want. One useful setting that is helpful here is this auto apply exposures. If you know you're going to be making a lot of changes to your exposures, you might want to turn this off first. So I'll show you, let's say I'm looking at my pitchers now, and I come over to the pitchers and I say, I only want 30% max of these three guys that we're getting a ton of exposure to. Whoops, 30. I can kind of batch those three. What is going on here? Batch those three and then hit apply. And then it'll do this operation now here where it's going to attempt to re-diversify and find a new optimized portfolio this time where we are not playing any more than 30% of any of those pitchers that it seemed like it wanted to slam here. So yeah, so now we have diversified again. And you can see we start getting a little bit more exposure to some of these other pitchers, start spreading out a little bit more. Our Boston is still followed here as well. As always, if you like making a lot of adjustments to exposures, you may reach a certain point where we can't reach all of your desired exposures, especially if you are tweaking a bunch of different players. The rebuild lineups button is going to be your friend in that particular case. You can come over here, click rebuild lineups. We'll build a new pool with your exposures in mind, re-diversify. The second that upon doing that, we should be able to read all of your desired exposures. But that is one of the things that I think is particularly cool about this update is that, you know, I think there is this perception out there in DFS Twitter and just like the DFS ecosystem that, you know, if you start embracing the Sims, you have to give up your takes, your research, your strategy, whatever you feel about the slate. And that, I mean, we've never really been about that here, but this continues that here, right? Like you can absolutely add in your takes, your opinions about the slate, whether that is getting additional diversification or pumping up the min exposure, right? Maybe you've got a read that you want to play Cincinnati here or something like that. And you want to make sure at the end of this, you get 20% Cincinnati. Let's just do that one more time here, right? Maybe it's just a stand. Maybe it's just a gut feel. Right, you can pump up that Cincinnati here, re-diversify, and we'll get a new portfolio where we have 20% Cincinnati. Now, we have made quite a few changes, and there's only 4% of our lineups in our pool that have Cincinnati. Oh, never mind, it worked fine. So there you go. So now we have 20% Cincinnati. We are playing as diversified as possible around that. It's accepted all of our changes here. So really something that I think is quite special. Another note on that, and I'm not going to be able to demonstrate this easily here on stream, is that it also works for late swap. Whether you're on starter, pro, ultimate, whatever you're on, the diversifier also runs by default in your late swap builds. It should require essentially no work to do it. Works the exact same way. You will see the diversifier kick off after you run your builds, and you're good to go there. So very cool there as well. I will call out, if you need help with the late swap process, the tutorials, how to late swap, this one in particular was updated for this update here. This walks through from start to finish exactly how to do a late swap. So if you end up needing that, so. Okay. Let me, well, this bug is a little annoying. I'm not going to lie to you. This one I'll be excited to have fixed. I don't know why this is happening, but the devs know and they're working on it. So. Okay, couple questions coming in here as well. So maybe we'll let this load back up here and then I will answer some of these questions here. There was a question. This one is the one that I started looking at. Does 20% Cincinnati lock a Cincinnati stack into all your single entries? Yeah, it does. So you can see I have a Cincinnati stack in all of my single entries. So that is a good question. And it brings me to my kind of, I guess, my next point here. And that is exposure management for different groups. So we talked about this a ton internally about how to potentially set this up. And it gets kind of complicated kind of quickly. So I'll show you what we settled on. I will say, if you're going into your lineup building process knowing that you likely are going to do something very different for some of your lineups versus other lineups, right? Like your exposure strategy is going to be totally different for your multi-entry and your single entries. You're probably going to be best served still doing that in two different builds, where you have build one maybe only has lineup groups for your multi-entry contests and build two only has the lineup groups for the single entry. Because when you make exposure changes, they are going to all of your lineup groups at once. So if you know that you're going to have very different exposures for different sets of contests, you may be best served still doing that in two different builds. However, there is a useful feature. Let's get rid of our Cincinnati min exposure here and reapply and let this re-diversify for us here. There is an interesting feature where you can lock your lineup group. And when you lock a lineup group, it means that that lineup group will not change again until it is unlocked. So let's say we have gone through this point in the process where to this point, we're mostly just setting a couple max exposures here. We're trying to make sure we're a little more diversified. We're happy with those exposures so far going to all of our different lineup groups. But now we want to pump up our exposure to Cincinnati. And we want to get to 20% Cincinnati exposure, but we don't want to say that Cincinnati stacks have to appear in our single entry contests. The way that you could do that here is lock your single entries, which basically takes them off the grid. You're saying, okay, any changes now after this point should not affect my single entry contests. Now we can go in here and find Cincinnati here and go back to 20% and reapply. And we are essentially now just going to re-diversify these contests. Only these contests should get new lineups. And if we look in here, those lineups still now have stayed the same. So they are essentially what they were prior to the that next diversification running. And we have reached the desired Cincinnati exposure in 8 of our 40 lineups here. So, sorry, I closed this question, but we're talking about this question here. So that's kind of what we've settled on for now, is if you really want to have a very, very hands-on approach to your exposures that are going into particular contests, I think your smoothest experience to doing that is probably going to be splitting those up into two different builds, but you can get away with a lot with the locking group tool. Now, be mindful of a few different things. First, if you plan on locking groups at all to do what I'm doing here, I would probably have auto apply exposures off so that you're always in control of when the exposures get applied. if you have auto apply exposures on, right, and I uncheck these, Saberson is going to immediately pick up that we are not reaching your Cincinnati exposure for these three contests, and all of a sudden shove Cincinnati lineups into all three of them as soon as we take the lock off. So you want to be mindful of that. But that should help for that. Okay, so now let's just to close the loop on this build here. Let's say we're happy with this portfolio. We hit save all, which is going to save our lineups. Oh, interesting. That doesn't seem right to me. I bet we have to unlock these to save them. And I think that's not exactly how that's intended to be used. Oh, never mind. Okay. I see what's going on here. I'll talk about this. I have avoid duplicates across lineup groups off because I'm actually okay with that in certain spots, but we probably want that on. Most people will probably have this on. This will be on by default. So let's let this re-diversify here. This will allow you to play the same lineup across different lineup groups when off. When on, it won't. Okay, so now if we save, we get 43 lineups. So we have 43 lineups. We can download this and upload to DraftKings. So sorry, I went kind of quickly there and probably didn't totally explain myself, but when this was off and we hit save, what we were seeing was we were only saving 40 lineups, which means three lineups were duplicated somewhere. Yeah, so 37 lineups. So probably to meet some of our desired exposure, Saberson is just giving us 37 lineups to fill these 43 with avoid duplicates off. But if you have it on, you'll always get the exact number that you're supposed to get. So let me address some of these other questions here. Then we will move to a starter build and walk through. It will look surprisingly similar. I'll just hit this one quickly because the answer is no. I don't use any MLB lineup rules. I have dabbled in at times unchecking certain stack types from my builds. If you look at my lineups in contest flashback or something like that, you may see that at times I've like only played 5-3, 5-2s, 4-3, 4-4 type builds. So sometimes I will uncheck certain stack types, but I've actually moved away from that as the baseball season has gone along. The trends that I have noticed studying flashback this year is that that is also something a lot of the highest simmed ROI players are doing in large field tournaments, is starting to be a little more flexible with their stack types. Now, that's not necessarily true of everyone, but I have noticed that that is starting to happen more. As to why that is happening, my hunch is, I guess, kind of twofold. When contest sims became very popular last year, last football season, I think one of the things we noticed very quickly is that people had gotten a little too attached to rules of thumb about football stacking, specifically around run backs. I think people were overusing running back their main stack with a player on the other side. Contest sims tended to show us that that wasn't as valuable as conventionally thought before. And then as the NFL season played along, you saw a lot of the top players starting to force that into their builds less and less. I think we are seeing a similar thing in baseball here, where I think conventional wisdom said 5-3, 5-2s, you know, maybe the occasional 4-3s, 4-4 type builds for DraftKings. You want to stack a ton. I think we are seeing that the contest sims, while they agree that those are going to predominantly be the best stacking types to use, there are often a lot of very profitable lineups here that are stack types that maybe might be a little less conventional. When you poke around and look at the types of stacks, maybe that you feel a little unconventional for this slate, they often make a lot of sense. They often pass the eye test, at least in my humble opinion here, of the way that the lineup is put together. And I think people are maybe kind of finding that those stack types are a little more useful than previously thought. I also think baseball is getting quite sharp. I think that there is only a certain amount of 5-3s and 5-2s that can be built. And I think, you know, potentially one, I'm going to try to think about a way to explain this concisely. I think you are going to find that you are competing against other good lineups in the 5-2, 5-3 space with your builds. You are probably competing against worse players to some extent in the 3-3, 3-3-2, 3-2, 4-2 space, the lineup space of lineups. That is a little bit less of a fully fleshed out thought than the first one I explained. So maybe just maybe it's mostly just a contest sim thing. Anyway, long story short with that, I don't ever set rules for baseball, and I have even started restricting my stack types even less than I was at the start of the season. Okay, we'll get to the starter build shortly here. We just did ultimate. Changes I've made to my filters. I don't have any. I don't think there's any. I don't really use too many filters. I don't have any. I mean, I like play around with stuff at times. But a lot of the stuff, frankly, a lot of the things that you'll see on my screen when I'm doing office hours and stuff is just like filters that I've created to help somebody else. Like somebody asked, how do I make a, God, this is annoying. How do I make a filter? And I'll just like make it for them. And then it stays on my screen. And then I do office hours one day and they're like, what's that filter? And I'm like, I don't know. That was somebody just asked me how to make that. So I don't have any changed filters, but. Okay. What else? Okay. Reggie, this is maybe more of an advanced question that I might come back to. Yeah, I'm going to come back to this. Sorry, Reggie. I want to kind of walk through the basics here first, and then we'll go through some more of the advanced stuff here. How can I not get the yellow boxes around the group saying an error? So if you, let's actually try to create that. Let's say I want 5% no stacks, which we have none in our pool. So I'll apply that. So this is going to break it here in just a moment. There it is. So this is what it's going to look like if you can't reach your desired exposures. And it should tell you exactly kind of like what exposures it's not able to meet and where we stand with those things. If this happens to you, I just rebuild your pool. That should work. That is going to be the issue 90% of the time. Okay, at the time we're doing this live, there is a small bug if you are not on Ultimate where occasionally your diversifier will not run. Scott is working on it literally right now. It's probably already fixed, actually, given that the stream's been going on for 30 minutes already. So there is also a small bug that can lead that to pop up. But if you're experiencing that bug, you won't see any lineups at all. So either way, that should be fixed like in the next few minutes, probably. More than likely, if you're seeing these yellow boxes, it means we can't reach your exposures and you want to click rebuild lineups. Similar question here with the templates. Like this template is just the default. Create a lineup group for each of my contests using portfolio diversification. This is the same one that everyone should get. And this is all I have been using. I haven't needed any other templates. Okay, questions about the starter builds. So. Yeah, so we talked about, we'll do starter in a second. We talked about the Cincinnati thing a moment ago. Do you need to re-download the app? You shouldn't. There is no app download, period, right? SaberSim is always accessed with the browser. Even if you're on a phone, you should be accessing that through your web browser. So shouldn't need to do anything. You may just need to do a metric. Also a question about how do these new groupings work with custom metrics? I'm going to group that with Reggie's question, and we'll talk about that here shortly. I'm going to bounce over to starter and then. Yeah, let's bounce over to starter first. Okay. I want to do a starter build, mostly just to show how similar it is, because I think it really isn't that different. So give me a sec here. I got to pull up a starter account. And I won't be able to start this like totally fresh because I was poking around in starter doing some testing this morning as well, but we'll be able to do it pretty fresh. Okay. So here we are on starter. So the first step you would do here is re-upload an entries file. So I'm going to kind of pretend I don't already have an entries file uploaded and upload that, right? Same process as before. After this, I'll also show what to do if you don't have an entries file. We'll do that quickly as well. But we have an entries file. So now let's build some lineups. and we just missed a projection update, but that's okay. We'll let this build anyway. And go from there. Let's see if there's any questions that are easy for me to answer. I do see some other questions, but all probably ones that I want to show some stuff on screen. So we'll just wait. We'll just be patient. 131 of you guys hanging out with me today. I appreciate it. Okay. All right. So we're on starter. Build's completed. We see the lineup groups get created same way here. And it just went away. I couldn't talk quickly enough. Diversifying lineups was running, right? So the only difference between starter and ultimate here is that there's no contest sim that like runs for your contest. The diversifier just immediately kicks off. And you'll see a little bit of different results here, right? Starter actually looks slightly more diversified here in this particular slate. Again, the difference is that starter doesn't know that we are playing these exact contests. It knows that we are playing this slate and that we have 43 lineups and that we want to make sure that they are appropriately diversified. It just doesn't know that these are the specific contests that our 43 lineups have gone into here. So a little more, slightly more generalized in the way that the starter portfolio is going to work than the ultimate portfolio, but otherwise basically the same general process here. And now you're at the same part of the process we were just before, right? You could go through and review. You could cap exposures if you wanted to. You could, you know, check your stacks, right? For the purpose of, I guess, just demoing this, we'll do this here. Let's do, say we do the same thing and we say, I don't want more than 30% of any stack. So let's cap Boston and Atlanta at 30%. And we go through and we click apply. And we re-diversify. And there we go, right? Same result. Now we have max 30% of Boston and Atlanta. Same situation. Let's say you don't want that to affect your single entry contest. So let's let this go back here. Okay. So now we're back to where we were at the start. Maybe we just want our single entries to be like whatever they are without being affected by our exposure requirements. We can go in here and lock those in and say, I'm basically done with single entry, but I only want max 30% of Boston and Atlanta. We do that and now apply. And there we go. Max 30%. And we're good here. So it does look like, yeah, interesting. Okay. So I don't know if that's totally intended. So one thing to be aware of here, I don't necessarily think this is intended, but it doesn't actually seem to save your locked entries when you click save. So I would, again, leaving auto apply exposures off if you're planning on locking entries, I would lock them, do your exposures, then unlock them, then save. And what this is saying right now is, hey, we're using a Boston stack and you said you want max 30%. That's okay, because we didn't really want to do that. We don't care about that for these entries. And then that should work. So, oh, weird. Save 40 lineups. I might need to look at this a little bit off stream. That seems a little funky. Doesn't seem to be saving those. And it should. So I might need to take a look at that and have Scott help me out with that. So, okay, let's answer a few more questions here. And I think from here, we might get into some more nitty gritty type stuff. We've kind of walked through the basics here on both ultimate and starter. These are going to be some more specific type process questions, at least from what I've seen here. So I'm going to come back to Reggie's question here, and I'm going to first go back to my ultimate account because I need it for this question. Okay. So this one's a little complicated. I'm going to give you a little warning. So if I lose you, anybody following along here, this is, I would argue, a question that's only going to really apply to a particular process. So this question is about self sims, which is a kind of a strategy idea that we had talked about quite some time ago in some of our older Ultimate videos and things like that. I will mention here that part of the whole purpose of doing this thing, running your lineups against your own field, your own pool as a field, running contest sims against your own pool, was to account for some uncertainty in what the field was going to do, right? Because the contest sims are attempting to exploit the field that you say or what your opponents are going to do. And if you are wrong about those assumptions, sometimes you can be, you can end up in a situation where you don't play the best possible lineups because the field did something a little bit different. So if you assume the field is going to do what SaberSim wants you to do, then you get a different look at what your opponents might do. And maybe you end up with a portfolio that's a little less fragile. One of the, maybe even the main goal with the portfolio diversification for us was to create sets of lineups for players that are less at risk of basically just getting blown out by the field doing something different than we expected. That is like one of the guiding principles of how we built the portfolio diversifier, is basically saying like, diversify to make your portfolio more robust and anti-fragile to subtle changes in what we think the field is going to do. Because we're pretty good at predicting what the field is going to do, but we're not perfect at what they're going to do. So if we think the field is going to play 3% White Sox stacks and therefore come up with a set of White Sox stacks that you should play, and the field ends up playing 6% White Sox stacks, that can sometimes be really devastating to those lineups' quality. So we want to make sure that we're diversifying a portfolio appropriately to make sure that you are playing a proportion of White Sox stacks that still gets you paid off if we're right about how much people are going to play them, and not where you get blown out if we're wrong. So by and large, I don't think you need to do this anymore. Now, I will just drop a little breadcrumb here and say that I think exploring the idea of trying to build your own fields and playing around with that is a lot of fun. And I think there's meat on the bone there. I think that is, if you are a serious DFS player trying to maximize all of the profit you can extract from this game, and especially like as we go forward into 2026 and like kind of the future of DFS here, I think one of the things that we're going to see is that the players that really separate into the next tier of DFS players are those that are able to even go above what we can do creating our own fields, and create fields that are even more precise than that. So I don't want to discourage anyone that thinks that is a kind of a path they want to go down, but I don't think it is as valuable out of the box to run self-sims necessarily anymore. However, one of the important points of this question that I want to address is if we pull up our contest sims. So when you upload your entries file, we create the contest sim data for you automatically based on what contest you are playing here. We pull in all of the contest sim settings from what that contest is configured as, and we apply our particular field here. This is kind of a very specific thing here, so I'm going to try to explain this the right way. The contest sim that ultimately that diversifier is going to use for these different contests are these contest sims. So if you want to use a different field, you need to do that here on the line item that we have created when you upload your entries file. So if you want to run your four-seamer against your own build, you need to change that here. If you create a custom contest sim and call this four-seamer and give it this and give it the four-seamer payout structure and create this, there is no way to associate this custom contest sim with the actual lineups that are going into the four-seamer in terms of using the diversifier. You can run this contest sim and use the results of this contest sim in your filters or for research or anything like that, but the contest sim that is associated with the diversifier, the parent contest sim, so to speak, is the one that we create for you when you upload your entries file. And that is an important thing to note if you are doing what I would call more advanced things with the diversifier with custom contest sims, with things like that. Okay. I do not want to put everyone else here to sleep or freak anybody else out. So I'm going to stop answering this question here for now and move on to the next one. But I would be happy to go into that further if needed. Okay. So I wanted to touch on this one as well, because this is somewhat related. So how do we use custom metrics now? So there's another question as well here. How does this affect you if you're using SaberScore? So, what's going on here? What did it? Oh, let me reset. This is the one where I have like the no stacks. Let's reset this. Okay. So the whole concept of ranking your lineups by something has kind of changed here in kind of a permanent way, to be honest. Whether you're using custom metrics, I'm just going to start a new build. I don't know what I did. I broke that one somehow, messing around with this. Okay. Whether we're talking about custom metrics or SaberScore or ROI, right? The concept of sorting your lineups by a metric has somewhat changed, because we're not ranking lineups and selecting them one by one anymore, right? That's how the kind of the old SaberSim pre-portfolio worked, where we would identify some lineup one, and then we would look for lineup two based on your ranking order, while also listening to everything else you wanted to do, your exposures, your min uniques, stuff like that. The portfolio solves for your lineup set as a group all at once by either the contest sim ROI on Ultimate or by the kind of generalized ROI if you're on Starter. Now, it doesn't mean you can't use your custom metrics anymore. It doesn't mean you can't use SaberScore. You can't use projected score anymore. But I think you are now going to be better served using them as filters, where you are limiting the portion of the pool available for the diversifier to use and letting the diversifier come in and then find the best diversified set of lineups to play amongst the set of lineups that you said are acceptable to you. So it's a little bit of a subtle difference here. But I think this is the right way to do this, because the ranking method ends up, it does a few things. One, it's like extremely sensitive to whatever lineup shows up first, especially if you're using stuff like mid uniques. It's not finding a well-diversified portfolio of lineups on its own. So let's say, well, I'll let this diversify first. I'm going to give a couple examples of this. So what are, like, I want to know like approximately what projected scores we're working with for this slate. So like 110-ish. So let's say that you want to value projected score a little bit more, right? Now, if you were doing this in the past, you might use a custom metric or something like that that incorporates projected score, or maybe you would just sort by projected score, right? And then like hand pick lineups or something like that. Now, I think the way that you are best served to do that is to filter your pool. So we could filter the pool here and add a new filter and say only show the lineups that have a projected score greater than, let's do 90. I don't want to be like too limiting here. Let's do maybe 100 should work. So we want our lineups to have a projected score of 100. That is going to, okay, that trashed a lot of lineups, but that's going to trash 4,300 lineups, leaving us with 800 left, and now re-diversify our portfolio, finding us the new best set of 43 to play out of this approximately 800 lineup pool. This could just as easily be a custom metric here. So do I have a custom metric that like is usable? What's Jordan's test metric? This is probably something I made for a video. Okay, so here's like a generic test metric that uses projection, ownership as a negative weighting, and lineup percentile 95th. So let's say you used to like sorting by this metric here, right? And you want to incorporate this into your process and still make sure that this is something that shows up, right? Well, now, instead of sorting by that metric, what I would recommend is filtering by that metric. And I have no idea what the approximate range of this metric is, but let's try 75, see how much that tosses out. Okay, that's pretty good. So maybe I want that metric to be at least 75. Well, instead of ranking by that metric like I might have done in the past, now I'm going to simply filter the lineups out that don't have that custom metric, have enough of that custom metric, and let the diversifier find for the optimal set outside of that, right? If you are running custom contest sims, like Reggie was here, you can also start to incorporate these here as well. Maybe I want to only show lineups where my custom contest sim that I've created, where that ROI is greater than zero. I can't tell the diversifier use this contest sim, but I can filter out lineups that don't reach a certain threshold per that contest sim and filter it out that way. Okay, so I would say if you experimented with changing your rank that you used, if you experimented with custom metrics, if you did that kind of stuff on SaberSim before, you're probably going to want to get more accustomed to thinking about those as filters rather than ranking methods on the new SaberSim here. So, yeah. Okay. Good question there. Okay. Turbo two game. Okay, I'll touch on this one quickly here. So main thing that I would do. So you want to allow, what's going on here? I'm all locked up. That loading build thing is annoying me. I will check in on the status of that bug as soon as I'm off, because that has happened quite a bit. Okay, so let's say you're playing a two-game turbo. So frankly, I like just wouldn't worry about rules for this at all. I would just like, so when you build your lineups, that if you want to allow batters against your pitchers, what you are almost certainly going to need to do is turn correlation probably down to like almost zero. Because if we look at a pitcher, you're going to see the correlations between a pitcher and the opposing team hitters are extremely negative. And if you have correlation on any non-zero value, it's not going to want to. Oh, God. There it is. Okay. Right. These are like extremely negative correlations. So you're playing Jack Flaherty, it's not going to want to use any rays in your lineup pretty much at all. If you turn correlation down to zero, you will essentially mitigate that, or you'll essentially remove that part of the equation. And instead just look at what's coming out of the raw sims. I wouldn't go much further than that. I wouldn't set any rules for this stuff. Just take what the sims are giving you in that case. All right, Nez is here. What's up, Nez? Starting fresh with SaberSim with the goal of doing some MMEing, where would be the best place to start? The best place to start would be in our help documentation at support.sabersim.com. The very first tutorial you see in SaberSim tutorials is how to use SaberSim. It's like a 10-minute video that's like 13-minute video that is like the basics of how I would recommend anybody use SaberSim on their first time. It walks through like how to get lineups built, how to add in some of your takes, research, gut feels, anything like that. Run the contest sims, run the diversifier. A lot of the stuff we've covered here today as well. But this is like the 15-minute primer of where to start. I would also mention that pull up this. Anytime there's like a major sports season that starts, I will also, and for big events on the calendar, I always try to do a video walking through like where I'm currently at with using SaberSim for that. So for golf, for example, the US Open last month, and most of the time these videos will be very similar to what I cover in this video, but it will also be a little more up to date and be a little more applicable to a particular strategy. So how to beat MLB DFS. Now, this is outdated. Some of these videos on the YouTube channel are going to be slightly outdated with the new stuff. This one is updated, but the YouTube channel is also a really good resource. All right. Is there a way to look at your player pool exposure for a specific lineup group? I don't think so. I don't think there is. So you can look at just your exposure for a particular contest by clicking on it. And you can shift click and look at multiple contests at once. That's a useful trick. And you'll see just your exposure for those contests. But in terms of like, if you have set filters on the particular lineup group, I don't know if there's a way to see what the pool available is to just that group. I mean, we can look at the pool here, right? Or we can look at pool exposure at any time here, which is here. But I don't think there is a way to do exactly what you've asked here. Okay, Andy's enjoying it. Nice. Yeah, it's really awesome. I will stress that again. I would recommend, I think when this first became available for testing on beta, I like played a little bit of small, I played small volume on almost every single sport in the DraftKings lobby because I just wanted to see how the diversifier handled it. It's very cool to see different slates and different spots. Sam, it will not, when you are on starter, you will not see ROI metrics. You'll instead see different summary metrics. So Ultimate sees these ROI metrics for your lineup groups. On starter, you'll see, I think it shows you like average projection, maybe average salary. It shows you just like different stuff, but you shouldn't see ROI. Dodger, we kind of covered this, but the answer now really is neither. You're probably going to be using portfolios to choose what lineups you're going to play. Yes, it is for mobile. Should work pretty good. There, I will mention for the mobile folks out there, like SaberSim is a pretty complex platform. Especially at this point, like where we're at, this is a pretty involved piece of software. We are very mobile minded in our development process, but there are certain things that are just going to be a little bit easier to see, view, and do on desktop. So our goal with mobile in terms of how we approach developing everything is that we want it to be as easy as possible to follow what we call the happy path of using SaberSim on a mobile device. So if you're going through, basically, if you are doing kind of a process that generally resembles this video, it should be pretty easy to do it on a mobile device. The more complex your individual process is, the trickier it might be to do it on a phone. So. All right. So we got a couple questions left in the queue. I do have to hard stop right at about, it's 3 o'clock my time here. So we have a couple more questions. Andrew will be back here again tomorrow as well to pick this back up. Mark says, hey, Jordan, I want to make two builds using different rules for 150 total entries. Is it a good idea to save 150 lineups for each build into favorites and then run contest sims for the 300? For 150 total entries, that would be a way to do it. What you would be doing in that case, so you're basically saying, I'm going to make a pool of 300 lineups coming from these two individual builds, sending those 150 each to favorites, and then letting the contest sims decide what I end up with. So if they end up with being 100 from one build and 50 from the other, that's fine. If it's totally 75, 75, that's fine. If it's 150 and zero, that's also fine. This is a viable way to do that. Yeah. If I'm not getting at the core of what you're asking me here, hop into the Discord and let me know. And I'd be happy to go into that further. Because I am just running out of a little bit of time here. So, okay, I'm going to leave things there. I got to jump back into some other stuff here, make sure that we are getting a couple of these lingering bugs fixed for everybody before baseball gets going tonight here. Again, final thoughts, couple resources. I do want to just touch for everybody that's still hanging out here. I do want to touch on one final thing because this has come up a little bit. So if you end up running into a pickle tonight where you're trying to get your lineups in and something's not working exactly the way you expected, or you just don't have time to learn what is new here, you can turn it off with this toggle, use lineup groups on new build. So if you turn this off, you're basically like in old SaberSim mode. This always affects the very next build made. So if I now create a new build and you will see a difference between the icon that's used for your builds here. So this is a new Saber Sim build with the wrench and hammer, and an old Saber Sim build is the clipboard. Similarly, if you show up to Saber Sim tonight and you're like, I want to use the new stuff, I'm excited. And why isn't it giving me a new build? Why can't I see the new stuff? You'll want to first make sure that this is checked on, which it should be by default, but you want to make sure of that, and then just create a new build. And then that one should create you the new kind of build. So we wanted to let people figure this out on their own time. So we're giving people the ability to turn it on or off, and it always affects the next build that you're making. So that's kind of a useful one there as well. But okay. If you have questions, comments, run into any issues, report a problem in the app, upper right settings menu, our Discord server, or support at sabersim.com, the best ways to go. Otherwise, I hope everyone enjoys the update and is excited about it as we are here. Andrew will be back for office hours tomorrow. We'll have some more videos coming out, going deeper into some of this stuff over the next coming weeks. Football is on the horizon, so obviously a lot of exciting stuff and a lot of exciting content will be showing up, especially as we start to get into August here in a few weeks. So in the meantime, good luck on the slate tonight, everyone. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you later.